Chapter 11. Melatisu Sector. 13 days before Plan K-10.
Captain Tabor Cyteron had spent the better part of a month aboard the Herald, observing the Star Destroyer's crew members as they hunted Governor Chalice under the leadership of Prelate Verge. His first impressions, he now realized, had been unkind. In a young crew less than half a year out of space dock, the diseases of fatigue and shell shock were ordinarily best treated through structure and discipline. For troops struggling to embrace their responsibilities, shorter, more frequent duty shifts encouraged greater concentration, and strict adherence to regulations gave incentive to those who chose not to concentrate. But Tabor had hesitated to implement changes aboard the Herald. He'd seen too many commanders disrupt the functioning of their crews for little gain. Instead, he walked the kilometer-long span of the vessel from bow to stern over the course of days, making the acquaintance of ranking bridge officers and engineering specialists alike. He made a point to query them about their duties while making his rounds. Once a week, he even joined them in the mess and discussed trivialities, their families, their homeworlds. He read their personnel files in the evenings and annotated those for later review. He neither ignored nor blindly trusted the prelate's own assessments of his troops, assessments that tended toward the glowing or the despairing, with little middle ground. What he found in the end was a dutiful crew that had lost its way. They were good men and women, loyal and able, but they no longer knew what to believe. That would destroy any soldier. But there was little Tabor could do. For the blame, he determined, fell squarely on Prelate Verge. Verge, too, Tabor had misjudged. The boy was a slavish idolater of the Emperor, to be sure, and he lacked military experience, but he was brilliant and fiercely charismatic in his way. When he asked after the child of Lieutenant Corteral, promised the man that a detail of stormtroopers would see to his family's protection from rebels on Van Zeist, his sincerity was clear. When he stood before the display in the tactical center, plotting a dozen courses that Chalice's rebels might take from Hedoral Prime, he analyzed and dismissed scenarios so quickly that Tabor could only nod and pretend to follow the logic. Yet Verge's idiosyncrasies counterbalanced the boy's finer nature. Tabor had learned as much during his sixth night aboard the Herald, at the prelate's impromptu gala. The event had discomforted Tabor from the start. The prelate had ordered a docking bay converted into a concert hall, where holographic musicians played neoclassical paeans to the new order, and astromech droids served hors d'oeuvres from the officer's galley. The invitees, a mix of crew members determined, so far as Tabor could decipher, by random lot, seemed enthused enough, willing to feast and dance at the prelate's urging. An hour into the evening, Verge stepped forth to proclaim the purpose of the gala. Earlier that day, he explained, he'd learned of an officer's failure to report vital information in a timely fashion. "He failed to wake me during the night," Verge said, "doubting that the information, a sighting of Governor Chalice's rebels over the planet Coyote, was accurate." Verge continued speaking as a pair of stormtroopers ushered the officer in question into the center of the docking bay. Tabor was surprised to see a look not of panic, but of despair on the officer's face. "His mistrust of the information was understandable," Verge said. "But by failing to bring it to me, he placed faith in his judgment over that of his superiors. That cannot be accepted, and it cannot be forgiven." One of the stormtroopers produced a thin metal cylinder. Verge nodded, and the cylinder mechanically extended into a baton, one end dancing and crackling with electricity. "I have decided to grant you all the privilege of administering punishment," Verge said. "If he lives, he will return to duty a chastened man, a better man. Then Verge had left the gala. The attendees had done what was expected of them, and Tabor had slept poorly that night. Tabor's constitution had suffered with age. Even as he adjusted to the Star Destroyer's gravity, he still woke each morning sore and cramped. He missed the selection of tea provided by the Corrida Academy, and he found himself increasing the size of text on the data pads handed to him by younger officers. But his mental fortitude was as it had always been. He'd seen far worse things than the prelate's torments, inflicted worse himself more than once. But how could a crew function when its commander acted unpredictably? One moment, Verge was courting the Emperor to an enchanted audience aboard the bridge. The next, he was ordering an engineer stripped of his rank for the failures of a malfunctioning droid. Each night following the gala, Tabor's desire to return home grew stronger. And so each day he attempted to build his rapport with the troops and better equip them for their hunt for Governor Chalice. The sooner the mission was complete, the sooner he could resume his familiar routine. Verge lent Tabor the support he required. When Tabor asked for permission to assign half a dozen officers to liaise with Imperial vessels in the Meditisu sector, Verge authorized it. When they learned that Chalice's ship was leaving behind a subtle particle trail, Verge encouraged Tabor to oversee the science team dedicated to the trail's analysis. In the days that followed, Tabor became convinced that success was near. Few Imperial ships were poised to intercept Chalice in short order, but so long as she left a path, there was no chance of her escaping. With a few days, the Herald itself could be in place. And then came news of the raid.
One of our freighters! It was an obvious target. We should have been prepared!
Tabor winced at the sound of his own voice. He clenched the report in one hand, glowered at the liaison officers on the bridge. But there were dozens of Allied ships in the sector, and predicting which Chalice would strike at, had they even known with certainty that she'd attempt to hide her trail so, would have been nearly impossible. One of the liaison officers was stammering an apology. Tabor waved it off, tried to show by his expression that he was venting frustration, not placing blame. This crew had seen too much blame. The prelate stood at the bridge viewport, staring into the stars. Tabor strode past the duty stations, wondering how the boy would react. Yet Verge was smiling when he turned around. He looked almost amused, as if enjoying a twist of fate that affected him not at all.
"We were lucky," the boy said. "That trail was a stroke of fortune. But surely wars are not won through luck."
Tabor found his ire melting away.
"True enough," he said.
He was too eager to get the job done and return home, as if merely wanting it was enough. It was a mistake children made. Once again, he'd misjudged Verge.
"What now, then?"
Verge asked. "Chalice will take advantage of this, surely."
"Focus, Tabor." "The rebel ship," Tabor said. "It's taken considerable damage in the last week. They'll be looking to put in for repairs."
"Agreed," Verge said. "That will mean a base of some sort, or at the very least, a flotilla equipped for the job."
The conversation soon moved from the bridge to the tactical center. An assortment of Tabor's favored officers joined him, calling up data and reports from other ships in the sector, while Tabor stared at charts with Verge and racked his brain for anything useful on Chalice. Over the course of an hour, they narrowed down the area the governor could reach, but not the particulars of any port. It was progress in only the most technical sense.
"We're approaching this wrong," Tabor finally declared. If there's a base to be found through pure military theory, someone in intelligence would have already found it.
Verge's eyes were closed as he leaned back against the console.
We already discounted finding the ship. Where does that leave us?
We can't find her ship, and we can't locate the base directly, Tabor said. But our forces just chased half the Alliance out of the Midrim.
How many other rebel ships managed to escape an engagement in this sector after sustaining damage in the past week, say? How many others need repairs as well?
The officers began murmuring into their links and tapping at their consoles.
A list flashed onto the main display. It scrolled rapidly through official designations of rebel ships, easily several dozen.
Tabor smiled with grim satisfaction and gestured toward Verge. It's your hunt.
Verge pushed forward off the console and clapped Tabor on the shoulder.
It's our hunt.
He turned and spread his arms, encompassing the rest of the officers.
All of ours, he called, and laughed.
Evidently, he understood Tabor's intent. The men laughed with Verge. Some were transparently nervous, others apparently sincere, proud to share the moment with their commander. Tabor watched them and wondered, what happens to them when the hunt is over?